Yeah, it's just not on to preach a powerless gospel. Ha ha ha. We won't spend long here tonight. We're following up from speaking on community. And just want to thank you so much for... I've just become aware of many guys doing exceptionally well with Christian community in the last while. I know of people really going through difficult times, and I know that they're not going through it alone. And it's so good for me to hear about the stories. Friends that actually really, like the Bible says, carry one another's burden. And I'm just so blessed to hear about those stories. People that really go through tough times, but they're not going through it alone. And that, I want to say, is a loud Christian witness. I really want to say it's a loud Christian witness. The fact that you can go through a traumatic experience and go through it with the friends. Or people really struggling with, you can call it sins, you can call it addictions, you can call it anything. But that they being helped. Because in the past, for those of you who maybe grew up in a Christian church, might sadly know about stories like this, that if someone goes through a divorce, then they're excommunicated from the church because you're going through a divorce. It's sin, kicked out. Or people, and for us it's sort of unthinkable to think that, why, if you fail, are you being excommunicated? Or why are you kicked out? Or people that really struggle with the sin, whether it be alcoholism, whether it be homosexuality, whether it be whatever, being kicked out, although they're trying to overcome it, they're being kicked out in the past. And I want to say I'm very blessed to hear about the fact that in your cell groups, in your small groups, in your friendships, that you're getting this right. You are helping one another overcoming sin. There is transparency, and it's so cool to hear about the guys playing touches, Conrad and the guys, and they're saying there's such an openness that they can share and say blatantly, listen, I don't get this right. Or listen, I know if I'm gonna fail in this thing again. And it's so amazing to have that freedom of sharing that. And that's something that we've been praying for a very long time. We've been trusting God that it must be established. We are sharing, Yaku and myself and the visiting speakers as well. I know that God is doing the same thing all over. I know of many churches in Cape Town that have the same themes. That God is saying, the Holy Spirit is saying, we hear the Holy Spirit saying the same things about community. And just let me just remind you why we're doing this. A while ago I was thinking, I'm thinking a lot. I'm thinking a lot about just the practicalities of how we do ministry or why we do what we do. And in one of those times, the Holy Spirit just popped in a question into my head, and he said, Ross, the Bible says that you will know that you are my, they will know, they on the outside, they not part of us. The Gentiles, the aliens, the sinners, those far away will know, will recognize, will have a revelation, will know that you are my disciples. When? When they see the love that you have one for another. And I'm going, God, how can they see that in my life, in my day-to-day Christian existence? How will anyone from the outside see love? How is it possible if I never interact with people? If I never make myself vulnerable, if they never see the good works. Because the Bible says, Jesus said, and the men will see your good works and praise God. Give glory to your Father in heaven when they see your good works, when they see benevolence, when they see love in action. So I'm thinking about these things and I'm saying, God, I know that you're working in us. I know your Spirit is inside of us. God, I know that it's so easy to go off in the church. If you want to make money, if there's a schema inside here tonight, if you want to make lots of money, write a book about how bad the church is. It sells. Go on the internet, go on Amazon, and just the recent books about church failure. You'll get like a gazillion books. Because it's easy to spot negativity. Jesus said, woe to you if your eye is dark. If you have a negative perception, you'll see negativity everywhere. And the same light, Isaiah, says the whole earth is filled with the glory of God. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, the whole earth is present time, tense, now filled with the glory of God. So I just want to say that we do recognize amazing things that God is doing in your cell groups, and I want to commend you. Really commend you. I'm so proud to hear about those things. It's such a pity that we can't visit all the cells, but I'm really proud about what I hear. So we're going to speak about Christian community, Christian fellowship. For those of you who haven't done it, I really want to recommend you to you to go back, either find a computer or do it manually. It's a simple way. Just take your time. Wherever you see in the New Testament the phrase one another, in Afrikaans, mekaar, wherever you see that phrase, underline it or cut out that verse or cut and paste that verse, because it will teach you so much about what Christian community should be like. And I want you to read it and think about it. Just go in the New Testament. There are lots of things where it says also that you shouldn't do, but there are lots of things that it says that should be, that should happen. And we're going to look at Christian community, Christian fellowship. And we're going to start just with the four phrases that has to do with Christian community. There's something funny happening on that screen. It's not supposed to look like that. My design was much more funky than that. So let's move, step away from that screen, please, Sonia. Thank you. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, fellowship, and to the breaking of bread and prayer. Looking at fellowship in the New Testament, we see four concepts in the New Testament. First one, I'm not going to read through all the scriptures because we don't have time. We've got another 25 minutes. And then they're going to start with Sad outside, and I want to invite you to join the music. But we've got 25 minutes, and I want to deposit what God has in my spirit in this 25 minutes. The first one we see there is that if you read through the Holy Spirit in everywhere where you find the term fellowship, although in most new translations, the term isn't always fellowship because they've translated it more accurately, actually. But wherever the Greek word metakos or the Greek word koinonia, where terms fellowship, partnering, sharing, partnership, communion, having together, sharing, all those things, wherever those words occur, these are the four concepts that the Bible teaches us about. When you think about fellowship, I want to say the first thing that you obviously think about is relationship. It means there's an object of relationship. The Bible says that God has, through His Spirit and through the Gospel, invited us into the fellowship with His Son, Jesus Christ, invited us into real relationship that exists. So the first concept of fellowship is whether it pertains to, like in 1 John's case, he says, but he writes, he says, I'm going to read you the verse. It says, that which we've seen and which we heard, which we also proclaim to you, we declare to you that you may have fellowship with us. And indeed, our fellowship is with one another and with Jesus Christ, his Son. So it speaks about an objective fellowship that God invites us into. But we know about that. The next one is the term companionship. And in the New Testament, that teaches us how we have fellowship. First of all, vertically with God. And the three phrases that we get repeated all through the New Testament that teaches us how we have fellowship with God, companionship, is first of all, the abiding. The Bible says we should abide in Christ, divine abiding. It means constantly plugging into and drawing from God so that we may bear fruit. So it speaks about a continuance in our relationship. It's not a passive thing, it's an active thing. An active fellowship, companionship with God. The next one speaks about just the dining with Christ, Revelation chapter 3. Constantly we're being invited to open the door that we may have dining with Christ. Also like David had in Psalm 23. And then the third one is walking in the light. We're constantly invited into walking in the light. John speaks about that a lot. So there's an invitation to have fellowship with God and then also with one another. Sonia, you can just dump that whole page. How we have fellowship with one another. Page up. The whole body together and then smaller groups, one-on-one, sharing truth together. This is how our fellowship works. This is how we have fellowship with God and with one another. In worship, either in communion, singing, prayer, ministry of the word, ministering to one another. Constantly, this is how the Bible teaches us how to have fellowship with one another. So if we're thinking about Christian fellowship, if you do that study about one another, you sort of get this. You sort of get this is how it works. This is how our day-to-day fellowship is. But I want to speak about something else tonight. Not about the relationship, not about companionship. When we speak about fellowship, there's one thing that God is restoring to us. And that's why I want to talk about it, because I see it happening. And that is our partnership. Yvonne, I say it every time I speak about fellowship, because the old English term that he taught us is so amazing. The term fellowship is derived from an English term. English phrase. That's a helmet. English phrase that literally means a few fellows in a ship. people together in a boat pulling oars, but rui, and they're rowing hard. It speaks about a purpose. It speaks about cooperation. It speaks about the partnership, working together. And this is the one thing we see. For those of you visiting, when I was young, I couldn't pronounce a R and I couldn't pronounce a S. So when people asked me what my name is, I said Hoth. So sometimes it still pops out. My mom tried everything. She was a kleuterskool juffrou, a pre-primary teacher, and she tried for such a long time to get it right. And eventually only prayer worked, because they did everything funny in those days. It's like the experiments that the Nazis had on people that they tried with me, and nothing worked. Nothing worked until my mother just said, listen, we're going to pray this right. So I can R and S. But fellowship, it's something that I do see happening, but it's something that we are constantly praying about. Because it's easy to think about fellowship, and if you read articles about it and stuff, not too theological articles, we always get the idea that fellowship, when we think about fellowship, it's us caring together, having a social gathering. Let's fellowship a bit, let's talk, let's have coffee together. And we can even talk about Jesus in our fellowship, but still miss a big part of what Christian fellowship is. And the one big part that we often neglect is this part about partnership. That we exist together for the cause of the gospel. The church exists to see the nations come to worship God. The church exists to see people come and worship God. The church exists to see God's salvation that Jesus brought on the cross come to individuals and to nations and to communities. And that's why the church exists. So, breaking it down, this congregation exists for that. This church exists for that. Your cell group exists for that purpose. The reason why your cell group exists is to let the nations see Christ, to see your neighbors come to Jesus, to see, let them see the glory of God among you, to let them see the love of God among you. And when I speak about sharing the gospel, please cut out of your mind screaming and bashing people and arguing. Because that's why I think many of us have a negative connotation with witnessing and with sharing the love of God. Because it comes down to intellectual arguments. Let's step away. If you're one of those people that love arguing about revolution, evolution and creationism, then God bless you. But I want to say that it is one of the least effective methods. Intellectual arguments does not make people love and worship God. Very few people do come to Jesus like that, but very few. And in academic circles, we've really highlighted that. So I want to speak about partnership with the gospel, fellow workers with God, sharing God's holy calling. Two ways it is implied in the text, the New Testament, just a brief summary. The first one is just with one-to-one, as a small group gets together or as a church gets together, we exist in partnership, we work together, like Paul says there, or like the author of Hebrews says there, to share in God's heavenly, to see you glorified, to see you fully come to the fullness of Jesus Christ, to see you come and look like Jesus, for the salvation of God to be complete in you, one part. And the other part is literally to see people that has never heard about Jesus or that has only heard about Jesus, to let them come to the knowledge of God. I want to invite you, and I know that they're starting to make noise back there, so Jaco, if you can pump me up a little bit, it will be great. A little bit. Then Konrad vra wat gaan aan met my vanaand. Ek weet die ou. Ek weet die. To see, I really want to encourage you to think aloud tonight, the Holy Spirit, just to break the mindset of you are not good enough to witness for Christ, or that you are ineffective, to break those lies, to really get through to you that you and your cell exists and has grace from God to see people come to love God. And it's really, it's something that must shift, and the Holy Spirit must do that thing. Because mostly we are afraid that we're not good enough, or that we're not dough enough, or stuff like that. And now you can go with CS, and I didn't have time tonight to get some testimonies about the SOS, the School of Supernatural, that was on this weekend. But I want to encourage you, this is why we're here. Let me just show you a few pictures, just because I think it's really funny. The first picture there, the benefits of partnership, it's flippin' cute. Pandas helping one another up. Maybe he's pulling him down, but we don't know that. It's a static picture. But let's take the optimistic view. Optimistic view. The next one, another benefit of partnership is we can overcome enemies together. One of us can put 1,000 to flight and 2 of us can send the legions fleeing, the Bible says. But really the partnership, effective working together for a great cause, we can really make massive transformation. It's a picture of Jesus telling the guys to throw the nets in on the other side in John chapter 21. And they throw the nets on the other side. And then all of a sudden, because of the success, the boat starts sinking and they call and say, listen, other small groups, other cells, please come and help us out here. We're sinking because of the effectiveness of God's grace. And they help one another. The next one, they are real. I just want to put this picture there because there are real challenges, and we'll see now, there are real challenges to partnership. It's easier to work together, to work alone. And many of us are like that. Many of us are, especially you successful people, you intellectual people, you're used to working alone because there's a challenge when you work with other people. There are real life challenges that can happen and real disasters that can happen if you work together. But I want to just, the benefits outweigh the challenges. And the next picture, if you look at churches today, and praise God, our church doesn't work like that. I just don't do stuff alone. But our church doesn't work like that. But modern day churches really work like that. Where the idea is that you've got one or two super evangelical anointed people doing all the work and everyone marveling at what is being accomplished. This looks like any normal South African scene. It looks like this in the nation. Everyone's working and you've got managers everywhere. But you've got people everywhere working. And then there's the one guy doing everything. But I want to really say that we understand that is not biblical. And I want to say that I see this in our church, that it doesn't work like this. But there's still a bit of a mindset. There are certain people that are super gifted, and I'm not one of them. I'm going to say again, Paul writes about the hope of glory, Christ in you. That the same Spirit of God who rose Jesus from the grave now lives inside of you. And that, just let that sink in. There is nothing impossible for those who believe. Everything is possible for those who believe. Nothing is impossible. Just the last picture I want to show, and then I'm going to summarize the book of Ephesians, Philippians to you. Just one more, if you press it once more, there will be a verse at the bottom. A few years ago, Pastor Fred May shared about the purpose of small groups in a DVD, and we still have that DVD at the office for those of you who want to see it still. It's a 30-minute DVD. And he said the reason why Jesus most probably called fishermen that were working together is because there's something that they've already come, they've grown to. That's why Jesus' ministry really actually was very effective in a real short span of time. And the reason it was extremely effective is because these fishermen were colleagues working together already. They had a working relationship. They not only had a fellowship, friendship relationship, they were not only familial in terms of their family relations, but they were working together people. They already had a covenant friendship. Their friendship, and this is the key, their relationship did not exist for themselves. They've already, through the grace of God, through extremely hard work from young age, working on fisher boat, they've already progressed beyond I live and exist for our benefit in the small group, in the group. They came to realization that we exist for something else. Our partnership, we do care for one another, we do love one another. Like the New Testament says 1,000 times, we carry one another's burden, we bless one another, we show love. We do good to those of the household of faith, household of faith, and then to those on the outside. They've grown to that. They understand that. But they say, they understood that we have a working relationship. Our partnership exists for one purpose, catching fish. And Jesus said, okay, since you've come to that realization that you exist as a few fellows in a ship catching fish already, now I want to say you will no longer, in the same relationship that you have, I'm going to show you how to catch humans and not fish anymore. Keep the dynamic going. Understand your relationship. And now I will make you fishers of men and no longer fishers of fish. Fishers of fish implies. That's one of those, like reverse achter eight. What do we call it? Not an oxymoron. Anyway, totalization, I think is the term. So I want you just to look at that picture, and maybe we should call it a night tonight. Because I want you to, this is really all that I want us to come to agreement tonight. Next week I'll continue, and I'll want to go through the book of Philippians, and I want you to read it this week. I've read it countless times the last 2 weeks. Many, many times I read through the book of Philippians. Because there's something in that book that Paul really, there's a reason why he loves the people in Philippi or the congregation more than the others. And if you read the letter, you'll see that that's true. He does love them more than the other people. And the reason why he loves them more that is because of chapter 1 verse 5 and chapter 4 verse 15. He says, I thank God upon every single remembrance of you, making mention of my prayers every single time I pray. Because from the first day until now, you've become partakers of the gospel with me. You've become partners in the gospel with me. And then a few times he writes about, you've partnered with me in suffering. You partnered and you rejoice with me. In chapter 1, verse 28. And then it goes on like that throughout the whole book, constantly about either fellowship or partnership or partaking with me. In the gospel, he speaks about being co-laborers with me. In chapter 3, specifically referring to women in ministry. And he mentions them by name. And then again in chapter 4, he says, I rejoice again that now after so many years, and he was in prison when they sent him gift, financial aid, because he couldn't work for himself. In those days, if you were a prisoner and no one sent you food, I'm going to do that again. If you were in prison and no one sent you food or aid or anything, then you just die. And then the Romans didn't care because, you know, they didn't have to execute you. You just died by yourself. So the church in Philippi again sent money very far away to Rome. And then he says again for them, I thank you that you remember. And God says that his grace will be sufficient for you. He says, you Philippians yourself know that in the beginning of the gospel, when I left Macedonia, no church entered into partnership with me in both giving and receiving, except you only. And therefore he says, my God shall supply in all your needs according to his riches in grace in Christ Jesus. But the reason is because they understood something. And they understood it in terms of suffering with him, financial aid for him, many other things. But the main thing is they had a heart connection, understanding that there's something that they saw in Paul and Barnabas that they desired and that they did cultivate among themselves. It's called the partnership with the gospel, or partnership for the gospel. We partner in the gospel together. And remember, he doesn't say partner in Christ or partner in the Spirit. He does say that in chapter 2, verse 1. But he says partnership in the gospel. We partner in the good news of Jesus Christ. There's something about our unity that is awesome. We come together and we agree that we exist for the sake of the good news of Jesus. That's why we come. That's why we exist together. And it's a bit of a shift. And Jesus invites every one of his disciples with in the same way. He says, yes, it's fine for you to be my sheep and to follow me. But at one stage he says, I invite you, take my yoke upon me. Learn from me. My yoke is easy, my burden is light. For those not growing up in a farm, 98.985% of us tonight, means, he says, kry daai juk op jou skouers. Trek die ploeg saam met my. Work with me. He invites us no longer just to be sheep that just follow Jesus. He says, come, grow up, pull the yoke with me. My grace is sufficient for you. My strength will help you. My spirit will help you. But it's a disposition of the mind. It's an attitude that we get to. We say, God, I exist to partner with you in the gospel. And that's a simple word that I have for us tonight. Next week, I want you to read Philippians. We'll go through that. It's really amazing to read. That's one of the aspects in Philippi, but it's one of the most powerful books that Paul writes about this partnership, this working together. I want you to discuss it in your small groups this week. I want you to pray about it in your own home. But it's a really simple. The questions that we're going to ask is simply this. How do we participate in the gospel as a small group? If you're not in a small group here, but you're visiting us tonight, I want to say you're welcome to join one of our small groups. But maybe just if you have a Christian friend and you're not in a small group and you're ready for one now, then just ask your friend, how does our friendship, how do we partner with the gospel? How do we participate in the fellowship with Christ? How does it happen? Because it's not an intellectual thing. So like Meg said tonight, there's millions and millions of people out there that are still arguing whether God still exists. So there are millions and millions of people, like Jesus said, the harvest is ready. How do we partner? How can you do it? Just want to, in closing, I want to say that I was so blessed by Lindy and the guys in our small group. I'm in a small group with a few guys there. And Lindy organized a cell outreach for us in Klipjewel this week. And I was so blessed. Klipjewel is there. On the way to Wellington, just outside Durbanville. And we went there, and it was so amazing to simply go to Christians' homes, very poor people, people that really struggle and that really have a hard life. And all we did is, we, very blessed, very rich, very comfortable people living here, we went there into their homes two by two, and we simply asked them about their relationship with God, and we spent some time in prayer and encouraging them. We simply blessed them. It was an outreach. And we came back and we're like, God, we are, the Bible, it's right. It is more blessed to give than to receive. And we were so blessed with that. I'm looking at a few faces. I know that the guys, many of the small groups have had many outreaches this year. And I want to encourage you to constantly do it, to constantly work together. For those of you who are still discussing it, get someone like Lindy in your small group, or maybe contract Lindy, pay a handsome fee, and ask her where Klipjewel is. And what's the names of the context there? And maybe we can, help you out there. It's going to cost you something, but we can show you where Klipjewel is. Like Marco Grappi. I mean, it's really simple to go to an old age home. And I know that, let me just tell you, this is us. So we've had many cell groups in our congregation that are still discussing where to go after 8 months. After 8 months, 8 times 4. 32 weeks of small groups, and you say it's bad. I'm saying, praise God, we're discussing it. Awesome. Don't look down on us if you're visiting us. At least we're discussing it. But after 32 weeks, we're still deciding when to go and where to go. And I'm thinking, Jesus is saying, the harvest is plentiful. The laborers are few. Pray, get out there. Join Conrad and the guys every single Sunday morning for mass at an outreach at Belleville. If that's your outreach, then have the outreach. At least do something. Just do like 1 verse 1. Just do anything. Do something. I want to encourage you, if you're really struggling with this, have a conversation with, we've got many ideas. We've got many names of old age homes and orphanages and stuff. It's not so deep. And I know that really we've got pastoral people in our church, like myself, that really care about people. And you're thinking, we've got so many things happening in the lives of the people in our cell group. And, are we ready for this? I want to say to you, it will be the best thing that they can do. If you're going through a crisis, go through to someone who has a greater crisis. Give, it is more blessed. It is more beneficial. It is better for you to give than to receive. Trust me, the Bible says it is true. I know it's true from personal experience as well. I'm going to close. Do you want to maybe just stand up? We'll really continue with this partnership next week. While we're doing this, the Lord is saying to us over and over again, Ross, stop having church, start being church. Stop having church, stop coming to church, start being church. So that's what we're doing here. And Father, we thank you, God. We thank you, God, for how blessed we are. We thank you for what we have. God, we thank you even for, God, just an evening in your presence, Lord. It's really amazing to enjoy time in your presence. God, you are so good to us. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray, God, that you will mobilize and you will move us, God. I thank you for that we can hear your Spirit saying, move out, move out, move out all the time. I thank you even for the obedience of Meg. She's saying again, there are so many people that are confused. We have the answer. God, I pray in the name of Jesus that you will help us become practical, God. And Father, I thank you, Lord, that a love, a passion for the lost, a passion for people in need, a passion for those that are going through difficult times, God, overcomes all fear. Love overcomes fear. It casts it out. God, in Jesus' name, I pray that you will move us with compassion. In Jesus' name, help us become practical. Amen. The Lord bless you. Please discuss this in your cells, in your small groups this week.